You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
Real quick, if you had to describe Ecclesia right now in one word, what word comes to mind? Don't think about it, just say it. All right. Love, all right. Good.
Different.
Definitely that. What else? Anything else that popped in your head? All right, those are good. This psalm comes from the middle of the book of Psalms. There's a series of 15 psalms that are known, and they have a little subtitle on each one called the Songs of Ascents. The Songs of Ascents, like the song of going up, ascending. Now, for major festivals in the Jewish religion, people would often travel to Jerusalem because it was the holiest city. And Jerusalem was set up on a plateau above the rest of the surrounding land. And so people would have to ascend up to Jerusalem. And often these Psalms of Ascents, which is Psalm 120 through 134, were used as this traveling music. You know, if any of you go on a trip and you're like, I got to make my best traveling mix CD, you know, to pop in. There's mixed tapes back when I was, you know, growing up. Those were a lot more fun. You didn't have as much control over it. They got a little wild. But you got your best mixtape. This is a little bit of these songs that they would sing as they were traveling along, as they were coming to Jerusalem. And these songs would tell the story of the Israelite people. It would tell the story of their history, of their deliverance, of what God had done for them, of why are we gathering together to celebrate? Well, it's because this has happened. This is what God has done. And it's reminding people of the mighty acts of God for Israel. So as I looked at this psalm and as I studied this psalm, I was drawn to this phrase that appears right in the middle of the psalm, in the middle of these six short verses. And I think if you had to describe the Israelite people, this is what they would say: we are one happy people, at least in this psalm. We are one happy people, right there in the middle. It's a statement that looks backwards. First, it looks backwards to what God has done, to God's goodness and God's provision for the people of Israel. It was good, the psalmist says. It seemed like a dream. So the people had been in exile in Babylon. The community leaders and the educated class had been taken into captivity. They had been taken away, and they were living outside, kind of seeing their homeland in the distance, figuratively. But even in their distress, even in their despair, even at the lowest point of their lives, God had not forgotten them. God had not abandoned the Israelites. God had, in fact, remembered them. This psalm celebrates the fact that God had, in fact, delivered them, that God had, in fact, been faithful. It seemed like a dream. It was too good to be true when God returned Zion's exiles. We laughed. We sang. We couldn't believe our good fortune. Have you ever had that feeling before? God has done something so great, so wonderful that you just kind of break out in spontaneous celebration. No, usually if we're going to have a celebration, it's got to be a little more planned out, right? I mean, we got to have a theme, and we got to send out the invitations, get the date on the calendar. We got to decorate. We got to cook some food. We got to get some beverages. If it's in the church, we got to have a committee that'll meet together, plan it out. We got to have an order of worship. You can't just get up and let anything go. Not here. Not here. Says the Israelites, they broke out into spontaneous joy. They laughed, they sang, they danced. They remembered what God had done for them. The party even got so animated that the neighbors took notice, the surrounding people around Israel, they took notice. And maybe, had it been our day, they would have even called the police because it was getting a little rowdy, but they saw what was going on and they said, God has surely been wonderful to them. God has been wonderful to them. I understand why they're partying. But if you look closely at this psalm, it's not only a song of nostalgia. What I mean is, it's not only a song of looking backwards. It's not only going around telling the stories about the good old days. You remember the good old days when God brought us back out of Babylon? Man, that was good. The statement, "We are one happy people," is couched right here in the center between this remembrance of the past and a prayer for the future. Now, God, do it again. Do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives. In the ESV, that verse reads, "Restore our fortunes, O God, like the streams of the Negev." Remember, Jerusalem is surrounded by a pretty arid climate. There's a lot of desert around there. Southern Palestine had these wadis. It's the Arabic word. It means valleys. These big valleys that are dry almost all year. But during the wintertime, the rain comes and it pours, and these normally dry riverbeds begin to flood and flow with great water to make the ground fertile again, to make the ground able to bear fruit. And so the people are saying, God, we're praying that you will make us fruitful again. Make us fruitful again. Look really close at the imagery in there. Let those who plant their crops in despair shout hurrahs at the harvest. Let those who go out with heavy hearts come home laughing. Let those who plant in tears reap joy. Those who go out weeping come home rejoicing. It's almost as if the psalmist is suggesting that the very thing that will bring fruitfulness is not the rains from the skies. It's almost as if the psalmist is saying that it's the very tears of the people that will bring nourishment, the nourishment that the ground needs, that their tears will water the seeds, so that the great harvest might erupt from the earth. What is this harvest? It's a harvest of joy. It says those who go out in tears will come home rejoicing. Those who plant and sow in sorrow will reap in joy. Three times in this short psalm, there's an interesting Hebrew word that is translated for joy. The psalmist could have used the Hebrew term masos, which means rejoicing. He could have used that, but he didn't. He could have used another Hebrew word, simlach, which means gladness, with great gladness. But instead, he uses this word rina. Everybody say that together. Rina. There we go. Rina means a loud cry, a shout of proclamation, a shout of victory springing up from the people. It says, when we returned from exile, we shouted the victory. God, please intervene so that when we plant in tears, we will shout for victory at the harvest. God, intervene so that when we plant in despair, we will return shouting for victory. Because you have won. Because you have brought victory among us. You have brought victory in us and through us. Ecclesia, I wonder today, can we say we are one happy people? Can we say that? A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Easter Sunday. And on that Sunday, we celebrated our 10th anniversary as a church. And we looked at those pictures of the past and the ways that God has worked. We remembered and we cried and we laughed and we were nostalgic and we were sentimental. And we should have been. That was the right thing to do. It's a day of remembering. But we cannot walk into God's future looking over our shoulder. We cannot become so nostalgic about the past that we forget that God has a future for us. We cannot begin to fully embody the joy of this psalm, the joy of what God is doing, unless we embrace both, celebrating the past and longing for the future. Longing for the future. Let me ask you this morning, do you dare to dream again, Ecclesia? Do you dare to dream again? Do you dare to ask God, God, intervene? Break into our normal everyday routines. Break into the norm of our worship on Sunday morning. Break into the way that we've always done things in a way that we weren't expecting. Interrupt us, God, with your grace. Interrupt us with your reins and your nourishment. When you show up Sunday after Sunday, what do you expect to happen? What do you expect? I mean, do you expect to see a few friends, you know, catch up on what you missed during the week, sing a few songs, and go home? Maybe. Maybe that's all some of us expect. Or do you expect when you show up here on Sunday to have an encounter with the living God of the universe? Do you expect when you show up to be blown away by the Holy Spirit? Do you expect to come in this place and for lives to be transformed? Do you expect miracles, Ecclesia? Do we expect that anymore? We did. Do you expect to walk out of here with a shout of victory on your lips? Because you've come face to face with the risen Christ, the one who has overcome death in the grave, the one who owns all the resources in the world and can pour them wherever he wants to. The one to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who is the healer of all of our wounds, the one who is the mender of our broken hearts, the one who has come to bring us new life and victory. What do we expect, Ecclesia? Yes, I believe that we are one happy people. Not because we avoid struggles, not because we don't have trials, not because of our circumstances, but because we have a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the truth that we proclaim when we come is that Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And he has filled our mouths with joyous praise. Let us pray together. Our God, let us inhabit this psalm today. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for its truth. Thank you for the example of the Israelites, that as they gathered to worship, they remembered where you had brought them. They remembered your faithfulness. They remembered your deliverance. But they longed for the future. They longed to see their land fruitful. They longed to see you lifted high. They longed for that shout of victory to be on their lips. God, I pray for our church that you would do likewise here. We remember your faithfulness. We remember that you have been so good to us. We remember, Lord, lives that have been transformed. We remember this community that you have brought together and established. But we long for even more. We long for your Holy Spirit to break the doors off this place. We long to be your hands and feet to our world. We long to just let your joy overflow from us. We long for that shout of victory to be on our lips as we experience new life. Once again. So God, intervene. As we have sown in tears, Lord, let us reap in joy. As we have gone through this time of despair, let us come back with a shout of victory. Lord, I pray for those that are in this room today, those that are experiencing that overwhelming grief, that the tears are streaming from their eyes and from their hearts and from their lives. May those tears fall to bring nourishment so that fruitfulness might be born again. I pray that you would bring comfort. I pray that you would bring healing. I pray that you would restore joy once again. We pray all these things in the powerful healing name of Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.